May God's grace, mercy, and peace be with all of you. Amen. I dare say that probably very few of you have ever gathered here in chapel to hear the lection being read that included fully one half of the whole writing from which it was read. In this case, 13 verses out of 25 in the epistle to Philemon. Yet the lector makes no apologies. Philemon is, after all, about getting and giving a second chance. And that is about all of us. Paul the writer knew that scene very well. He himself had received a new lease on life on the road to Damascus. And in turn, in his ministry, he would be exposed to a young man, John Mark, who actually didn't do very well on that first missionary journey. But later, Paul would see him turn around and become useful for ministry. But today, our scene shifts quickly and immediately to Onesimus and Philemon, and ultimately to all of us. About getting a second chance, Onesimus really needed one. He had run away from home and from his master Philemon, a Christian slave owner, and we ask, what triggered that departure? Well, we really aren't told exactly. There may have been some youthful immaturity, or perhaps he had the thought that greener pastures are some distance from here. It could even be that there was some intolerable relationship between servant and master that we don't know about. And it is certainly not unlikely that as he went, he took along some of Philemon's money. That would easily explain why he was able to pay for his travel to Rome or wherever it was that he found Paul imprisoned. Yes, Philemon had run away, but he also had stopped running. He had come to Paul. Very possibly he had heard of Paul or come to know him previously while Paul was doing his mission work in Asia Minor, and it is not out of the question that he might have met Paul at the house of Philemon, where the church gathered at some time. Anyway, Onesimus now was with Paul, and he had become useful. Obviously, there was a turnabout. There was a conversion that had taken place, because the one who was formerly useless is now described as being useful. Perhaps Onesimus now realized that he really had it very good when he was back home with Philemon. At any rate, Paul is now pleading with Philemon to give Onesimus a second chance. It seemed best for Onesimus to go back to be again with his master. Apparently, Paul loved this man, Onesimus, and he found him to be very useful also in the prison ministry in which he was engaged. Yet, for the benefit of both slave and master, Paul would send him back home. But the question remains, will Philemon want him back? And if so, how would he treat him? Would he really get a second chance? On the one hand, he didn't owe him a thing as a slave owner. For you see, Roman law gave a slave owner the right to do anything with his slave as he saw necessary. He could torture him if he wanted to. And even if he were to kill him, he would still be under the protection of Roman law because slaves were not considered, even as human beings, just as property. Nevertheless, Paul advised Philemon of a higher law, the law of Christian love. Take him back and forgive him, Paul urged. And why should he forgive him? First of all, he's changed, Paul said. And second, he is your brother in Christ. He's changed. The one who formerly had been declared useless had now become useful for Paul. Onesimus had found his niche in life. And he would now be ready to be useful for Philemon too, if given that opportunity. Also, he is your brother in the Lord, Philemon was told. He had had a conversion, and he had accepted Jesus and his plan for his life. That put master and slave as equals in the family of God. And that's why Paul urged Philemon to do more than merely to take Onesimus back. Take him back as a beloved brother. In this way, servant and master could live and work side by side in a loving and caring relationship. Though that idea was revolutionary in Philemon's world, in Christ's worldview, it was utterly basic. Philemon was reminded that he himself was once brought into that loving and caring relationship with Jesus Christ by none other than Paul himself. Surely, Philemon would now wish to reciprocate that love and forgiveness that he had received now to his newly found brother in Christ. That's quite a story, but it doesn't end there. It doesn't end there simply because it's your story and mine as well. Who of us has not at some time run away from God and tried to hide, even if for just a brief moment over a trivial matter? Who of us has not at some time strayed into worldly ways, even if it seemed insignificant? Yet God's loving household in time proved much more attractive than the place to which we had been lured, and we wanted to return home because we knew we belonged there. It would be comfortable back there again. Fortunately for us, God sent Jesus to seek and to save the lost and the straying, and in that process, he found us. He provided us a safe and welcome return home if once again we wish to be useful in his service. And that makes all of us modern day Onesimuses, no longer useless, but now useful. And in Christ's service, extremely useful. One question remains: are we also ready to become modern day Philemons? Are we in turn ready and able to restore a child or a parent, a fellow student or a colleague, a congregant or a friend who has temporarily departed from the pathways of peace and love, but who has now again become useful and wants to be our brother or sister in Christ? Are we able to forgive and to forget and to restore? Of course we will do that when we remember that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. May God grant all of us Onesimuses the strength of faith and love to be modern day Philemons also. In the name of Jesus, amen.